Good morning, everybody. Thank you for the introduction. As the title suggests, I'm going to take you all away from Binodoxus communis for a little while. And Penthes lanceolata is a nectar source for Lara bicolor and its effect on mole cricket parasitism. This is part of my master's thesis work, and for a background information about that, Scaptriscus mole crickets are the illegal aliens in the turf industry, as I call them, have been a great problem in the southern turf industry since their entry in the United States in 1901, and hence and since have been a problem all over this region. After having a lot of problems with these mole crickets, a mole cricket task force was formed, and they went in search of natural enemies in their natural host range, and this is what they came up with: the red-eyed fly Ormia depleta, the beneficial nematode Stainonema scaptriscae, and Lara bicolor, the wasp. Capture studies in Florida, University of Florida, Dr. Frank's lab suggests a 99% decline in the mole cricket populations through the biocontrol period, which started in 88-99 until 2003-2004. And the success of this is attributed to three of these biocontrol agents. Following the success of Lara bicolor in Florida, releases were done in Georgia and Louisiana. Populations successfully established in Georgia, but we are yet to hear about a population in Louisiana. But without any human intervention, this wasp was found in Mississippi, and the explanation for this would be a natural expansion of range. To test this hypothesis, we actually surveyed golf courses in southern Alabama, and we found the wasp there and in higher populations. And so that suggested that the populations were established a lot before they came to Mississippi. Soon after I joined this project, we actually surveyed golf courses and have been doing this monthly monitoring to see how long in a year does this wasp be active in these golf courses or in a plot we have. Three golf courses were surveyed, and a garden plot in the Coastal Research and Extension Center at Biloxi was done. Except for a single golf course, which was St. Andrews, I just found the wasp for a month there, but every other place, the presence of the wasp was pretty consistent from about May, June to November, December. In St. Andrews, we're not really sure what happened, but the greens look pretty better than what I saw it in August. They never disclosed what insecticides they used, so I'm not sure what really happened. So anyway, this is Lara bicolor, the digger wasp with the difference. I define this as the solitary spectacular sphecid. And when I go into these golf courses, this is what I look for. This is the wasp. There is no passive monitoring system for the wasp, so I have to go to these golf courses, stand there, look for mole cricket damage, and then see if there is something like this, the wasp browsing on the turf, antennating around. I've turned off the sound because there are just enthusiastic golfers around cautioning me to take care of my camera and be careful, don't die by getting hit by a golf ball. So anyway, after it finds a mole cricket burrow, what this wasp does is it enters the burrow and chases the mole cricket outside. Then it stings it. The paralysis of this is for about 2 minutes, within which it lays an egg. In the lab, it was not that easy to get it in this position. They had to quarrel for a long time, and in the field, after chasing it outside, there ensues a chase. The wasp has to find the mole cricket and then sting it. You can see there's an egg coming up there now. In about 2 minutes, this paralysis effect is over, and then the mole cricket resumes its activity. And what we see after that is this egg, this sausage-shaped egg. Normally, it takes 4 to 12 days for this egg to hatch, and this is a larva in a week when it feeds on the body fluid of the mole cricket. In a month's time, it grows to a fully grown larva, and by the time it pupates, this is all that remains of a mole cricket. Nectar sources. There are a lot of anecdotes about the males being present on the nectar sources, the problem being Spermacoce verticillata is a weed. This leads us to the questions of interest, which was, are there alternatives to Spermacoce in the northern Gulf Coast? Are the populations of nectar sources really male-biased? And if they're not, can we manipulate parasitism? Background information for the nectar sources was that the wasp prefer shallow flowers, those flowers with nectar sources having a sucrose-hexose ratio greater than 1, a smaller corolla size, which would make it easier to feed. But the breakthrough was when I found Lara bicolor feeding on Penthes during one of those walks around the garden. So we formed this garden plots with 0.5 to 0.5 meter. We had 14 ornamental plants, the plantings of which were done in 07 spring. And there were 16 replicates. There were all these plants were planted, and that's my advisor working for me. Then this is what came out. Out of all the 15 plants in the garden, only two plants could attract the wasps. One was Spermacoce verticillata, and the other one was Pentas. Clearly, white Pentas attracted more wasps than the red and pink Pentas. So we took these results into the lab to test them for the longevity. We did two trials with a no food control and a sugar water control. Usually we keep the wasps alive in the lab with sugar water, so we knew it would work. And this is what we got. Still, white Pentas stood above Spermacoce and it gave a better longevity for the wasp. And regarding the checking if the nectar sources had a male bias population, what I did was every hour I would go into this garden and count the number of males and female wasps, about 20 minutes every hour, and we were in for a surprise. In August, this is what happened. It was not a clearly male bias population there. There were actually some areas where we had a 1:1 ratio of males and females. But when we came to the October population, it was clearly male biased. It could be because the females are hunting more vigorously during the fall, or actually the population, the female population would be less at that time. But anyway, that took us to the next next objective, which was to test the parasitism. Even though the background shows a good golf course, which I would like to go again and again for research work, we actually went to a golf course which had more cricket problems and larva bicolor. So we had this Pentas plots, which was 1 meter into 1 meter, and what we were trying to do is that we would measure the parasitism at 1 meter, 3 meter, and 5 meter from these nectar sources. We were actually going to put in kiddie pools and have mole crickets and all, but nature didn't help us for that. There was a lot of rain, mole crickets were not coming into our traps, larva bicolor was less, and so this story will be next year. From what we did, this is what we could conclude. Pentas is a suitable substitute for Spermacoce and can actually be used in our landscape. With even though there were 14 other ornamental plants in the garden, white Pentas was the only one that attracted, or Pentas was the only one that attracted, and white Pentas attracting the majority of them. And taking it into the lab, we could see that longevity was also very high with white Pentas. And contrary to popular belief, nectar source could actually be more useful for biocontrol, as the females readily feed on nectar and they go for the parasitism. As I observed, in early morning when these females come, the females and males come together, they have a feeding of carbohydrates and then the female just goes. Then they come again sporadically when they need their sip of carbohydrates. So they actually can be used for this. The significance being, this is the first study showing Pentas as which could be used for larva bicolor, and otherwise during all the studies regarding larva bicolor, Spermacoce verticillata was the only one as the nectar source, and that is being propagated all through Florida and even in Georgia. But Pentas could be used as an alternative, and during this time where cost of controls for mole crickets are really high, what really would be interesting is if we could manipulate parasitism by introducing Pentas into the landscape. I would really like to answer this question, but it couldn't happen this time. I hope we'll have a story to tell you next time. But with that, I'd like to take questions. And thank you guys for listening patiently. Yes, sir.
How long is the blooming period of the Pentas flower?
Pentas remains blooming all over the through the coast all the time. Whereas Spermacoce, it dies down and grows again. I've not had to replant Pentas or Spermacoce in the coast. Yes, sir.
Do you know if the females engage in host feeding?
Yes, sir. In the lab, we have seen it. I've not seen it in the field.
So, I mean, that might be why they feed less on the nectar, because the males really do that.
Yeah, could be. We've not seen it in the field, though. Whenever we've done it in the lab, we see it. Yes, sir.
Are the mole crickets a bigger problem in fairway or the green or the tee box?
I've seen in the tee the tolerance level is less, so you would see more damage. It's clear on the tee.
So you could conceivably plant the flowers in proximity of the tee box and be fine, but that would be harder around the green.
Yeah, we were trying to have it on the roughs, so that if we have populations of wasps, they could go into the greens or fairways or tees also to feed.
Would the golf course be alright with that?
A couple of them we worked with, they were okay with it. We don't know if these golf courses, the one in the background, would allow that.
Are there any aphid-producing plants in the vicinity?
Not that I know of. We didn't check about that, but although there were some weeds, and we were just looking for the ornamental plants, and I didn't see any aphids there. Thank you.